Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on April 9th, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Tax Day Looms. Experts urge filers to take their time, avoid mistakes. And this is written by Christy Jankowski at the Danville News. The countdown for tax day is on. However, experts say don't rush. Larry Johnson, tax manager at Sikich, urges filers to take their time to avoid mistakes. Rushing never works. People miss things, Johnson said. Take time so your accountant can ask all the necessary questions and you can gather all required information. Slow down, even at the last minute. Johnson emphasizes taking directions, and he says the best way to do that is to compare this year's filing information to last year's. Let's not miss any deductions that we're entitled to, Johnson said. If last year was right, then this year will be correct if they get all the information. So it's kind of an information gathering process. He added that there are many deductions, especially for farmers and small business owners. On a farm, you buy new equipment, you can write that off. You buy fertilizer, seed, all those things, but you have to have a process in place to make sure you're not missing it, Johnson said. There are multiple avenues for filing your taxes, especially for senior citizens. Chris Healthy Aging has volunteers to help those over 60 years old or to file their taxes for free. Dana Wynn with Chris says they have served around 40 people every week since they began offering their services in January. The services are available until Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. They walk into the community center and sign their name, and then one of the volunteers will be with them as soon as they are able, she said. Filing your taxes doesn't have to be stressful or expensive, she said, Illinois Department on Aging Director Mary Killo in a media release. Community-based free tax preparation programs can help simplify the filing process and ensure older adults get the refund they deserve. The Internal Revenue Service, or the IRS, offers programs through the American Association of Retired Persons, known as AARP, Foundation Tax Aid Program, the Ladder Up Tax Assistance Program, known as TAP, and the Get Your Refund Program. Illinois taxpayers can find free, trusted tax help in their communities, said Illinois Department of Revenue Director David Harris. IRS certified volunteers are available across the state and are happy to help with people file their state and federal returns accurately and on time by April 15th deadline. There are also programs for those making less than $69,000 a year, those with disabilities, and those with limited English. Those include the IRS's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, known as VITA, and Tax Counseling for the Elderly, known as TCE. The IRS says these programs can be accessed in community and neighborhood centers, libraries, schools, malls, and more. And even though it is coming close to the deadline, Johnson said there's always the option of filing an extension. If it looks like you're not going to get your return prepared, there's no harm in extending and getting it finished after April 15th, Johnson said. An extension is not anything to apologize for. It's just something that you might want to take advantage of if you're not going to get your return done by April 15th. Next story is titled Council Tables Salary Increases. And again, this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Proposed salary increases for elected officials in the city of Danville were postponed. Following the executive session of Tuesday's city council meeting, members debated pay increases for over an hour, with much of it focused on proposed salary increases for certain elected officials. The proposed $130,000 salary for the mayor was passionately debated. As far as the mayor's salary goes, you know, I just provided you a little bit of information essentially, these are always a contentious issue, right? Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, you're talking about it right before an election in here. I think one of the things we have to be careful of about is if you limit the compensation, you limit those who have the options that you have available in terms of who would be willing to apply for the job. Williams emphasized that the salary should be increased to keep talented people in the role. I am requesting that we would start the 2027 mayor's salary at the minimum, like we did for the other city positions, with a small rounding down to $130,000 a year, and then give him or her, it might be someone else, it may be one of you that's elected for the position, a 3% raise each year, Williams said. And the bottom line is, if we want to recruit talented people to do this job, we cannot pay them an unreasonable salary. Alderman Doug Ahrens and Tricia Teague spoke out against increasing the mayor's salary. I don't believe there should be a public position that exists in a six-figure salary that does not have accountability, Aaron said. If a mayor can take the job and win a popularity contest and collect a $130,000 salary and not show up for work, as long as there is no accountability other than waiting 4 years until the next election, that's not accountability. Teague proposed removing the discussion of salaries in executive session at the start of the meeting, stating that discussing elected officials' compensation was in violation of the Open Meeting Act and the public had a right to see the proposed increases. The last time we had an increase was in 2022. It was actually publicly available, if I recall correctly, and therefore the public had an opportunity to express their opinion, Teague said. Alderman John Cooper also spoke out against the increase, stating the trajectory for the increase 2023, this job paid $75,000 on 2030, you're wedding to make this up to $142,000, which is damn near 100%. Alderman Eve Ludwig supported the increase, citing the things Williams does for the city. We have to compare the scope and responsibility, Ludwig said. And when you look at the mayor, and when you look at what Mayor Williams does as mayor, the scope and responsibility is the same as a mayor and a deputy manager for these positions. So that's why it's all put together as a total executive compensation in that fifth column. So we have to look at it that way. That's a way to do apples to apples. Ludwig also added that the increase is the best move for the city. Increasing the mayor's mayoral salary will serve to encourage qualified candidates to put their hat in the ring because they will be compensated properly for their immense responsibility as mayor, Ludwig said. How does it make sense that the mayor, who is the head executive leader of the city of Danville, has 22 city employees that he oversees who are paid more than him? It's my opinion that raising the mayor's salary to $130,000 is in 2027 is more than appropriate, and it's fair and equitable, and it's in the city's best interest. Williams brought up data from other similar positions, but Teague still did not support the increase. To me, the data, when you compare apples to apples, does not support increasing the mayor's salary by $20,000, Teague said. We're on a trajectory right now where the mayor gets an increase of $5,000 every year. I do think a $20,000 increase, especially when it was just $75,000 not that long ago. Teague also added that she didn't see the need for more money than many in Danville are struggling. We have 65% of our people who are one disaster away from losing everything, but we're going to give the mayor an additional $20,000, Teague said. It just doesn't make sense. Even if I was the mayor, I would say it was too much money. Council ultimately tabled the discussion and made no changes to salary increases. They do have to vote on the salary for the position 6 months prior to the election, but that election will not take place until April 6th of 2027. Next story is titled "Authorities Find Missing Danville Man Dead on Monday," and again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The search for a Danville man has become a death investigation. Captain Michael Hartsham, chief investigator for Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, is leading the investigation in a news release. Hartshorn said the department was contacted April 4th and informed that 30-year-old Timothy Strader had not been seen by a relative for 10 to 12 days. On Monday, investigators found human remains while searching for Strader in the 1700 block of West William Street. The Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden identified the remains as Timothy Strader. Officials conducted an autopsy Tuesday and said the investigation is ongoing with no further information available. On scene, officers received help from crime scene investigators with the Illinois State Police. Prior to investigators locating Strader, Nicole Hainer began organizing a search for him. She said Strader had not been seen since March 26th, and he is like family to her. Strader's sister, Amanda Bow, has a GoFundMe page to set up to help cover funeral expenses. My brother Timothy Eugene Strader was only 30 years old when his life was taken from us in Danville, Illinois. She writes, "Our family is heartbroken and struggling to come to terms with a sudden and tragic loss. Timothy was a loving son, brother, and friend who touched the lives of everyone he met. His passing has left a void in our hearts and that can never be filled." She said they are in need of help due to her mother being 70 years old and living on a limited income. She is overwhelmed with grief and the unexpected burden of arranging Timothy's funeral farewell. The cost of a funeral and other final expenses are more than our family can manage right now, especially after such a malicious and unforeseen act. We want to honor Timothy's memory and give him the respectful goodbye he deserves, but we simply do not have the means to do so on our own. At this time, the family has raised $345 on their GoFundMe page titled "Funeral for Murder Victim Timothy Strader." Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Charles Chuck Bernard Schroeder, Chuck, 82, of Danville, Illinois, passed away on April 5th, surrounded by family. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, April 10th, at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville, Illinois, at 1303 North Walnut Street. Father John Kerr will officiate. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 9th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Memorials may be made in Chuck's memory to Danville District 118 School Foundation or the Danville Rotary Club Foundation. Gerald D. Roberts, 93, of Penfield, passed away peacefully on Saturday, April 4th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A visitation is scheduled for Saturday, April 11th from 10 to 12 p.m. at the No. 10 Church of Christ at 27019 North 470 East Road, Potomac, Illinois, followed immediately by a celebration of life service at 12 p.m. led by Pastor Gary Davis. Burial will take place following the service at Partlow Cemetery in Armstrong. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist with the honoring Gerald's life. Memorial donations can be made to the No. 10 Church of Christ at 4402 East 2800 North Road, Potomac, Illinois, 61865 in Gerald's memory. And Joyce Nicholson Eichen, age 93, passed away on April 3rd after a brief illness. She's from Danville, Illinois. A service to celebrate the life of Joyce Eichen will be held at 4 p.m. on Sunday, April 12th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with visitation being held from 2 to 4 p.m. prior to the service on Sunday, also at Sunset. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Joyce will be laid to rest at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville at 9 a.m. on Monday, April 13th. Memorials in Joyce's name may be made to the Chris Healthy Aging at agestrong.org/donate-now or the National Audubon Society at act.audubon.org. Next story is titled Danville to Celebrate Arbor Day at Liberty Park, and again written by Christy Jankowski. The community of Danville will celebrate Arbor Day at Liberty Park, putting a $1 million grant to work. Trees for Danville has been awarded $1 million in grant funds from the Inflation Reduction Act and the USDA Forest Service Urban and Community Forestry Program. The city has partnered with the organization for their Arbor Day celebration. Rihanna Pierce, the community relations manager for the city, said the grant is the highest municipal award in Illinois. She said the funds will go to Community Route Danville's Urban Restoration and Revitalization Plan. The goal of the plan is to add tree canopy coverage in economically disadvantaged neighborhoods in Danville, as well creating plans for maintenance and a tree inventory map and local educational programs explaining why trees are essential for the community. The fund begins at 4 p.m. on April 24th with a hands-on tree planting demonstration, as well as planting new trees in Liberty Park. Plant a tree, learn how to care for it, and watch it grow as part of Danville's expanding urban canopy, Pierce wrote. A heartfelt thank you to those thank you goes to Trees for Danville and the USDA Forest Service for making this vital program possible for the city of Danville. Next story is lane shoulder closures set for I-74 in Fountain County. And this is in Fountain County, Illinois, written by a staff reporter. The Indiana Department of Transportation announces lane and shoulder closures that will impact I-74 on both directions between US 41 and State Road 25. According to a release from NDOT, beginning on or after Thursday, April 16th, the right lanes in each direction will be closed for up to 2 days, and shoulder closures will be in effect until around July on I-74. The purpose of construction is to allow crews to safely complete a small structure pipelining project. A work zone speed limit of 60 miles per hour will be in effect while workers are present. All work is weather dependent and subject to change. NDOT encourages drivers to use caution and slow down in and around work zones. Motorists in West Central Indiana can monitor road closures, road conditions, and traffic alerts anytime via Facebook at facebook.com/NDOT West-Central X, formerly Twitter, at NDOT/W Central, or traffic wise at 511N.org, or the mobile app, iTunes App Store, and the Google Play Store for Android. Next story is titled Lineups Announced for 2016. It says 2016 Georgetown Fair, but I'm sure that's supposed to be 2026. So anyway, written by a staff reporter in Georgetown. Organizers of the Georgetown Fair are excited to share this year's lineup of events to take place July 11th through the 18th. The theme of this year's event is Farms, Fairs, and Freedom. Happy Birthday, America. According to a release from organizers, this year's fair will blend a beloved traditions with fresh energy, offering a full week of entertainment, family fun, and community pride. We're already hard at work behind the scenes to make 2026 one of the best fairs yet, said Paula Berlin, fair secretary. From grandstand events to family-friendly activities, we're focused on creating an experience that brings people together and keeps them coming back year after year. The new this year on Friday night is Throwback at the Track, which is a high-energy concert experience built around the songs people know and love, according to organizers. Featuring performances by Sunset Strip and 90s Daughters, the night promises a fun, nostalgic atmosphere perfect for groups, families, and music lovers alike. Ticket prices are $10 in advance and $15 the day of the show for track or grandstand. You don't need to know the band, you'll know every song, organizers shared. It's all about creating a night where people can relax, sing along, and make memories together. In addition to the Friday concert, the 2026 Georgetown Fair lineup includes the rodeo on Saturday, July 11th, the Queen Pageant on Monday, July 13th, quarter midget racing on Tuesday, July 14th, the truck and tractor pull on Wednesday, July 15th, a side-by-side rodeo on Thursday, July 16th, and the fair concludes with the demolition derby on Saturday, July 18th. According to fair organizers, the side-by-side rodeo will bring a fast-paced, high-energy event to the grandstand. Featuring side-by-side vehicles navigating obstacles and competing head-to-head, this new event is designed to deliver unpredictable action and crowd-pleasing entertainment for all ages. As we begin planning, there's a lot of excitement building, stated Fair President Don Hackler. This fair is something people look forward to all year, and we're proud to keep the tradition going strong. Advance tickets will be available in the coming months, including advance tickets for carnival armbands offered at a discounted price leading up to the fair. Fairgoers are encouraged to purchase early to save and secure their spot for the week's most popular events. Sponsorships are also available. If local businesses are interested, they should email georgetownfairassociation@gmail.com. More information on the Georgetown Fair can be found on their website at www.georgetownfair.org or on its Facebook page at www.facebook.com/georgetownfair. And you also can call 217-662-6415. Next story is titled Ribbon Cutting Ceremony Held for Brezzy Bar and Grill, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Brezzy Bar and Grill, a new tradition to down Danville, celebrated its opening Tuesday with an official ribbon cutting ceremony joined by Vermilion Advantage community members, local leaders, and business supporters. According to the release from Vermilion Advantage, Brezzy Bar and Grill, located in the heart of the downtown at 8 East North Street, offers a welcome atmosphere for residents and visitors alike, featuring a menu of classic bar favorites, drinks, and a space designed for gathering and connection. We're excited to welcome Brezzy Bar and Grill to downtown Danville, said Dana Rowland, director of the Chamber of Commerce of Vermilion Advantage. New businesses like this bring energy to our downtown and create spaces for people to connect, which is so important to continue growth of our community. Brezzy Bar and Grill is now open to the public and invites the community to stop in, enjoy a meal, and experience one of downtown's newest gathering spots. For more information about Vermilion Advantage and upcoming events, visit www.vermilionadvantage.com. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and Dana Rowland of Vermilion Advantage during a ceremony Tuesday joining them. There's a picture of Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and Dana Rowland of Vermilion Advantage during a ceremony on Tuesday. Joining them was Kim Kuchenbrod of Executive Director of Downtown Danville Inc. and the staff at Brezzy Bar and Grill. We'll run through a few sports sports games. Written by Marvin Holman. In Bloomington, the Danville baseball team had some glimpses, but it was not enough as the Vikings lost 6-4 to Danville in Big 12 action. Grayson Kruger had two hits and an RBI on the Vikings, while TJ Foreman had two RBIs. Liam Einhart had one RBI and Marvin Davis had two hits. Tate McLaughlin had seven strikeouts on the mound for Danville, who is 0-7 and will play Paris today in Danville Stadium. On Friday, the Vikings will host Bloomington at the stadium for a special game. The school will honor late athletic director Gary Gritton for the decades of service to the school and the community. The game will start at 4:30 p.m. And Westville 17, North Vermilion 1 in Cayuga, Indiana. The Westville baseball team continued its strong hitting with its third straight double-digit win on Tuesday. Matthew Darling had three hits and three RBIs for Westville, while Ben Johnson had two hits and two RBIs. Christian Giles had two RBIs. Easton Barney had two hits and an RBI. And Gavin Long added one RBI. Randall Jeffers had the lone RBI for the Falcons, who rebounded to beat Heritage 11-5 for their first win of the season. Mason Page had and Clayton Nichols each had two hits for and three RBIs, while Owen Hinchy had a home run with two RBIs, and Jeffers had two hits and one RBI. In Oakwood 10, Centennial 4. In Champaign, down 3-1 after four innings, the Oakwood baseball team would rally with nine runs for the next three innings for a 10-4 win over Champaign Centennial on Tuesday. Cam Harris and Grady Johnson each had two RBIs for the Comets, while Colin Fury had two hits and one RBI. Xander Wilson had an RBI, and Wrigley Hart had two hits. Gage Carillo had five strikeouts in six innings for Oakwood, who is 3-5 and will play Iroquois West on Friday. In Monticello 7, BHRA 1, the Bismarck hitting Rossville Alvin softball team could not keep up against Monticello in a 7-1 loss on Tuesday. Drew Dubois had the lone RBI for the Blue Devils, who are 3-2 and will play Cisna Park on Thursday. Do a couple community briefs now. The Food Mobile stops in Vermilion County. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank announces the Food Mobile will be distributing food to local families facing food insecurity three times this month in Vermilion County. Today from 10 to 11, the Food Mobile will be at 140 South Crawford Street in Danville. Then on Tuesday, April 28, it will make stops in Rossville and Ridge Farm. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural and underserved areas. The first stop on April 28th will be Chrisman Park in Rossville from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., followed by a stop in Ward Park in Ridge Farm from 11:30 to 1:30. For a full schedule, Food Mobile facts and questions, and more, visit www.eifoodbank.org/help/mobile.html. And VVC art show set for Oakwood. The Vermilion Valley Conference art show is set for Saturday, April 11th at Oakwood High School. The show will run from noon to 3 with an awards presentation from 2:30, and it will feature around 1,000 pieces of art from the 13 schools that compose the VVC, including Vermilion County Schools, Armstrong Potomac, Bismarck Hanning Rossville Alvin, Georgetown Ridge Farm Hoopston Area, Oakwood Salt Fork Schlarman Academy, and Westville. The event is supported by the Katie Foundation, Loda Theta, and the Danville Art League. And technology classes for older adults, teaching older adults about staying safe online, video chatting, and choosing a new computer are just classes offered during a series of free classes at Chris Healthy Aging, located at 309 North Franklin Street in Danville. The classes will run from 1 to 2 p.m. on Fridays until May 1st. Pace for beginners, classes cover a wide range of topics. The AARP Senior Plant Division provides curriculum for each class. Attendees may take as many classes as they wish or choose only classes that fit their needs. No registration is needed. The session will be on Friday, April 10th. For more information, go to their website at chrishealthyaging.org or call the office at 217-443-2999. And Trinity Lutheran hosts Rummage Bake Sale. Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 824 East Main Street in Danville, is hosting its semi-annual Rummage and Bake Sale from 9 to 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 11th. Chili, hot dogs, and desserts will be available during the sale. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, April 16th, 2026. Looks like it's going to be a good day, maybe a little rain. I guess we need it still a little bit. So anyway, supposed to be a good weekend in the 70s and that. So hopefully you have a good weekend, and I hope to see you again next week. Take care. Bye.